Hello and welcome to episode 272 of the Casual Try Hard Podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm James.
And this week we're going to start going over our set review for Outlaws at Thunder Junction. We went over the set mechanics. We went over the signpost uncommons for the limited environment. Now we're going to go over kind of the full set.
Yeah. Outlaws at Thunder Junction proper.
Yeah. So we picked cards based on, as James put it, cards he had an opinion about.
Yeah, I mean, typically I have unusual takes on at least a few cards for the set, or at least I like to think I do, so.
And also we have some people that heeded our pleas and reached out to us on social media, Facebook, Discord, artists formerly known as Twitter, email, all those links are in the description, and let us know what they want us to talk about. So if you want to program the show in the future, please reach out. Let us know what you want us to talk about.
Yeah, I like that. Program the show. Give us inputs. We'll give you outputs.
Exactly.
We are planning on doing a whole episode about the big score because it's kind of a unique thing we haven't seen before. We wanted to talk about it a little bit on its own, and we figured we'd just talk about the cards from Big Score then. So this is just OTJ as a set. We're going to talk about that. And I don't think we mentioned in the pre-show, next week is going to be a little weird. If you're a patron, you know why. So there probably won't be a whole lot for patrons next week. Apologize in advance. I'm sorry about that. But yeah, if any of you guys are wanting to support the show, there's two ways you can do it. The first is with our TCG player affiliate link, casualtryhard.com/TCG. If there's anything from this set that you are looking to pick up, TCG player is a good way to get stuff when a set first releases, kind of floods the market, prices get cheap, the number of orders you have to make to get your cards goes down, and you can support us at the same time by using that link to get over there. It doesn't cost you guys anything extra and really helps us out. If you want to support us more directly, patreon.com/casualtryhardmtg is how you can do that. You can sign up and chip in a couple bucks, however much you feel like, and you get access to our pre-show, about another hour-ish of content out of us talking about who knows what. You also get to take a peek at my show notes, so you get an idea about what the upcoming week's show is going to be about, and you get to know you're helping support the content you listen to every week. It's always a good feeling.
Always a good feeling.
Yeah, so if any of that is interesting to you, patreon.com/casualtryhardmtg. Hook us up. Thank you.
Yes, please. All right, so we're going to start with white. Now, I did point out in an earlier Lost version of the intro that we I did not contribute much of this list, and we left it to the Jund player, and we have 3 white cards, 4 blue cards, 5 black cards, 6 red cards, and 5 green cards. Very, very Jund-centric here.
Completely on accident. Did not mean to do that at all. Mm-hmm. Honestly, when I had started going through this, I thought to myself, because I go through the set alphabetically and like pick cards for this, because I just go through the card file, and all of the white cards I picked are within the first couple letters of the alphabet. So I'm like, oh, I picked a lot of these. I should like
move on.
Change my bar a little bit as to what I want to talk about. And same for blue. Like I had a bunch of blue cards. I was like, oh, I better like move this bar around a little bit. So completely on accident.
Just the Jund tendencies.
Yeah.
Blue, white, yuck. Jund, well. Good.
Oops.
Oops. All right. So our first white card was the one card I pitched in. Good job, me.
There were 2 cards you pitched in. One of them was a big score.
One of them was a big score card. So Avon Interceptor. It's 1W for a 2/2 flash flying. And when it enters the battlefield, exile targets. It's
Interrupter.
Interrupter. It's, what did I say? Interceptor? Oops. Yeah. Interrupter. Very, very, very important. It makes more sense with the card.
I interrupted you to correct you.
Also. Yeah. So flash flying. When Avon Interceptor enters the battlefield, exile target spell, it becomes plotted. So if you remember, it basically goes to the exile or the plot zone or whatever, and mm-hmm. then can be cast for free as a sorcery on any turn but this one, or any of your turns at this one. And then spells your opponents cast from graveyards or from exile cost two more to cast. So this would be from, like, the plotted card is going to cost them two the next time they try to cast it.
Yeah, but also every card. Like, this is relevant for more than just plotted cards, so.
Yeah,
so. It's a reasonable hate bear by itself.
Yeah, so, like, oh gosh. Not that you would let it resolve if you had this. Well, maybe it doesn't matter. So, what is it? The Emergent Ultimatum? Right, mm-hmm. like if you have one of these down and they Emergent Ultimatum, they have to pay two mana for each of the spells they put on the stack.
Right.
So kind of like a Thalia tax.
At that point, like, you would almost want to let the ultimatum resolve, right?
Yeah, like with, I guess you could flash it in with the ultimatum on the stack and not bounce it.
Yeah.
Right, because... oh no, it's not a man.
No, you would have to.
You have to. Yeah.
So you would have, I think you would let the ultimatum resolve.
But then they'd be on the stack and you wouldn't be casting them. They'd be already on the stack. So the only way that they cast, right, is when the ultimatum puts them on the stack. But if this was already, if this was already out because you had done something else earlier in the game, right, like mm-hmm. it's going to make it so they need 9 or 11 mana to put the spells on the stack since you're casting them from exile.
This is also good for more stuff than just that. There mm-hmm. a lot of cards have a value that's kind of inherent to them by being, I don't want to say a surprise, but situational. Mm-hmm. Things like counter magic or kill spells or pump spells, but especially counter magic. Like, if you tag a counter spell with this, like, I mean, there's a chance you can just play around it the rest of the game and it doesn't matter. Like, it's just a counter spell.
They can only play it at sorcery speed. You can only remove.
Oh, so you can just never. That's true.
You just don't counter a counter spell.
Right.
So anything that has to target something on the stack, you just, like, don't have to worry about it. Like, you could, like, get their Spell Queller, and then mm-hmm. they would just have a 2/3 flyer for two. Right. But they'd never be able to counter a spell again. This mm-hmm. is also, like, I know it's $20 because of Commander, but kind of gross with Draenith Magistrate.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Magistrate on two, and then your 3-drop is either Paulo or this, both mm-hmm. of which makes it so they have to kill your Magistrate before they can do anything. Let's see, so there's that. A 2/2 Flash Flyer is also just, like, fine
mm-hmm.
as, like, a fail case.
We just went over the fact that I like to find weird use cases mm-hmm. for cards during spoiler season. Is there any spells that you would want to tag of your own instead of using this as, like, a pseudo white counter spell? Can you think of a situation where you would want to give one of your spells plot for two mana?
So, I'm trying to think, like, if you, like, pay some cost, you don't get to, like, redo it when it goes on the stack, right? So, like, let's say you could, you know, could you, like, counter a Tybalt and then cast the, a Valky and then cast, like, I think you can, maybe? Like, counter maybe. A Valky and then be able to cast Tybalt. And then
cast Tybalt for two mana?
So that could be a thing where you, like, get to cheat on something. Because, like, because there was a deck that, like, used, like, Release the Wind or Release to the Wind and stuff that was, like, exile this and then they can cast it for free later. Yeah. And so this kind of does the same thing. Now, granted, you're, like, 7 mana in on the installment plan.
Mm-hmm.
Because 2 mana to put Valky on the stack, and then 3 mana for this, and then 2 mana to flip it over.
Oh, no. Spells your opponents cast from graveyards or from exile.
Oh, okay. So, okay, so you're only 5 deep. So if you
your own thing, yeah, it wouldn't be...
So you're only 5 deep. Okay. So, like, yeah, something where, like, the cascade tricks work. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
What is it called? The stupid... 2 mana, like 1/1 or mana dork that like also gets like looks at 7 cards, find familiar, mm-hmm. or whatever that yep. card is.
Yeah,
like you could, like I think that works.
Mm-hmm.
Like it also like, makes adventure cards worse. Just like your opponent yeah. puts something. So even if you don't tag something, you can just make their adventure creature cost more.
Well, I mean. I guess it's also not great with suspend cards, right?
No, not good for that. this might also have been like it was supposed to be the natural predator for Discover.
No, oh, probably.
But like the guy was just too broken.
Yeah.
For that to be a thing. I lost to that deck this morning.
Did you?
Yeah. Thought seized them and then didn't have a clock and they just... And then first game I like discarded it or something, and then the next game they were like they played one and I like made them sack it. I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Then they played a dinosaur, and I had another removal spell, and like if they hit a clone, blow up the dinosaur, we're good. No, they hit the guy, the mm-hmm. Quintorius, and I was like, oh, I literally can't win now.
Yep.
Because like you have 2 things to blow up.
Yep.
Suck. It's like you either get infinite dinosaurs or kill me. And you kill mm-hmm. me with infinite dinosaurs. So, boom. But yeah, I mean, like that deck had a lot of problems, but like now can never be good. Because right. like it can just never beat like mono white. Like Thalia into counter your ramp spell with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then like your combo doesn't work.
Right. Combo also needs infinite mana to work.
Yeah, so like you just can't do it.
Or effectively infinite mana.
Yes. All right. What's this next one?
So next up, we have Dust Animus. This is 1W for a 2/3 spirit with flying. If you control 5 or more untapped lands, Dust Animus enters the battlefield with 2+1/+1 counters and a lifelink counter on it. And it has plot 1W.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was during the pre-show last week, we mm-hmm. kind of looked at some of these cards and we talked about this guy. And I had like another, not really a question, but a thought about this. And I don't remember if we specifically talked about this during the pre-show or not. But okay. There's a lot of people who don't listen to the pre-show, so I figured we'd just cover the card. So the card that we were comparing this to was Sarah Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's a 2-mana 3/3 that you can't play on the first 3 turns of the game or something, right?
Yeah.
Or 2-mana.
2-mana 3/3. I'm like almost positive. It's a 2-mana 3/3 that they like put guardrails on, and now like card doesn't matter.
Right.
Like 2-mana 3/3 is just like normal.
Yeah, well, so that, I mean, that was kind of my thought was that with this was that I think the connotation that we had during the pre-show was that this was kind of just Sarah Avenger, but I think this is like way better than Sarah Avenger. Because you can just play this on turn 2 still if you want mm-hmm. to for 1W, and it's just a 2/3 flyer, which, I mean, that's a pretty good rate for 2 mana. But also... Like, I think the main difference between this and Sarah Avenger is that whereas Sarah Avenger, like, you just can't play it on turn 2.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, you can still use your mana. You're just not affecting the board right away. So there's, like, a portion. You don't get the whole tempo value, but there's still a portion of that tempo that you get to keep because you have used the mana. And then on turn 5, when you have all your lands... get, you know, the big flying lifelinking guy, but
yeah, It's just hard because, like, modern magic's very much about, like, board presence.
Right.
And, like, doing something that, like, doesn't affect the board with your mana. Like, it, like, is a, like, 4/5 on turn five, right? If you hit all of your lands, is that, like, good enough? Because, like, the things that usually get played that don't affect the board are, like, Reckoner Bankbuster, something that, like, is going to, like, accrue you value, get you multiple cards over the course of that game. Where this, right, like, it has the evaluation has the, like, dies to Doomblade, but then you have to remember Shieldred doesn't always die to Doomblade and just kills you, right? So, like, the turns that this is a 4/5 lifelinker that doesn't die, right, like, it just wins you the game. But, like, also, like, you have to have enough in your deck that your opponent has to use their other removal, right? Because they can't just, like, sit on this and be like, all right, I know on turn five they have to they're gonna play this, and then I just go for the
Well,
throw to.
that's the thing though, is that, and that's kind of what I was alluding to when I said like you still get some of that tempo, because on turn five you still get to use all of your mana. You just also have a 4/5 flying lifelink.
So I just had a thought, right? Like, I was thinking of this card as a, whatever, words are hard, as a, like white, or like a white weenie, or like mid-range card, right?
Well, yeah.
What if this is just like a control juke, where, like, when you
Oh,
don't
might
have
be.
it, when you don't have your counter spell on turn two,
Yeah.
right? Like, you just, like, play this, and,
Instead of
like,
cycling your whatever to draw a card, yeah.
Well, like, you, like, are like, you know what? I don't have a counter here. I'm just gonna play this. Like, I don't care if you play a two drop. I have a removal spell, or, like, I have an absorb, so whatever. I'll gain that life back. Or I have a sweeper. I'll take a few hits. But then, like, on turn five or whatever, you can play this and, like, have up a counter and a removal spell, or two counter spells or whatever. And
Right, or
now,
counter spell on a card draw spell.
and now you have this thing that, like, will end the game and stabilize you, but, like, you have all your mana up. Or even, like, on turn five, you plot it and have a counter spell up, right? So, like, you're not shields down, and then on turn six you can be like, I'll play this and then do my other thing. Or, like, you can just wait, like, okay, I'll, like, sweep the board, and then you get to, like, play your, like, threat when it is convenient to hold up your to hold up your mana, as opposed to, like, Regal Caracal is more like bodies, but, right, you have to, like, tap five mana at some point. Where this, you can just, like, tap two and kind of, like, keep stuff, like, keep yourself flexible. Or, like, you wait till you get to six mana and you do this for two, and you have up a removal spell or memory deluge or counter spell, and you say go. And then you can just, like, play this and kind of protect it, or, like, they've taken out all the removal. And then you're just like, all right, like, I will
Well, I
win
guess
with this
that's
thing.
true also. I hadn't even thought of that, but you can like late in the like as a top deck late in the game,
Yeah, it's
this is
just,
still a 2-mana 4/5 flying
yeah,
lifelink.
you, like, have eight man, you have eight lands out, you just play this for two and you get, like, it right away. But, like, any time kind of before that, you can just, like, I'll put it away, and then it's suddenly seven lands, and they're like, okay, I'll put it away anytime before seven lands, keep up my flexibility, and then play this later on. Because, like, you, like, play mono red and the game kind of stalls out, and then you, like, play this thing, and, like, they can never beat it. It's like, oh, okay. So, yeah, maybe it's a side, like, maybe it's like a sideboard juke, like
Could be.
a thing that is, like, lets you use your mana, like, when you
I mean, I
want
could see it
to.
being more useful than Baneslayer, and Baneslayer was a control finisher at one point in its life.
Yeah, or Lyra.
Lyra, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, so maybe like you don't have to like turn five lands sideways with this ever.
Right. Yeah, I mean, all that being said, I don't think it's great.
Like, yeah. In an aggressive deck.
Like I said, it was just something I had something interesting to say about.
Yeah, but it's weird because, like, as, like, in a white aggressive deck, 2/3 flyer is fine, which is just weird to say. Mm-hmm. That would, like, have been the best thing ever. What was it? Tomic was, like, white-white for a 2/3 flyer. Yep. With extra text. I guess it's easy to cast, and, like, you can just, like, kind of, like, but, like, a 2/3 flyer as, like, your 2-drop in, like, a white aggro deck isn't good enough, really.
And not just that, a white aggro deck is, like, things have gone sideways if you have 5 lands.
Exactly. Like, so, like, it's got to fit in, like, a different kind of deck.
Yeah.
And it might be, you know, I guess it could be, like, a more controlling mid-range deck where you're like, all right, like, mm-hmm. I'll take this turn off and I'll just kill a thing, then like flip this thing over eventually and win with it.
Yeah.
But all right, what do we got next?
Moving on, we have Fortune Loyal Steed. This is 2 and a white for a 2/4 beast mount. Whenever Fortune Loyal Steed enters the battlefield, scry 2. And whenever Fortune attacks while saddled, at the end of combat, exile it and up to 1 creature that saddled it this turn, then return those cards to the battlefield under their owner's control. It has saddle 1. I don't know why I thought this, but when I was going through the card file, I was just like, oh, this is just kind of like Deadeye Navigator. Obviously not as good, but like Deadeye Navigator.
Kinda. We had like a... the golden something, there was like a vehicle that did this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is probably
LSV's more favorite limited deck.
Yeah, but this is probably better than that because you like it's a creature from the beginning.
Hmm. Well, you know what this lets you do? This lets you reset your Dust Animus on turn 5 to get counters and lifelink.
Oh, that is a good point.
Yeah.
Look at you go.
Yeah, look at me go.
Is Dust Animus, is it cast or just enters the battlefield?
It's ETB.
Okay.
I can go back
to that's a really good point. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, enters the battlefield. ETB. Yeah, so like blinking it is like big game.
Yeah.
And like there's like I was thinking small. I was like Spirited Companion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just draw a card.
Yeah, like you can, you know, in an ideal world, you'd want to like Fortune on 3, and then the thing you want to like get value in blink on like turn 4, so you can like immediately get that value.
Right.
Not that it works in older formats, but this is kind of crazy with Palace Shaler.
Mm-hmm.
Because Palace Shaler exiles the creature until you lose the monarch. So not until it leaves the battlefield.
Yep. So like, you just get to O-ring a creature every turn.
Yeah, you get two the turn it comes in.
Yeah, that's true.
You just like clear the way and you're like, all right.
Yep.
You set up a house of cards, but you know.
For sure.
By the time you get to turn 4, maybe you're far enough along that like it doesn't matter if they knock your house over.
Yeah. No, I mean, that being said, you're... In Modern Magic, a 3-drop that's a 2/4 doesn't attack particularly well.
No, it doesn't attack particularly well. But, I mean, they did stat it as a 2/4, that, like, it has the ability to, like, attack into, like, 3/3s and 3/2s and get you the blink effect.
Yeah, and this blinks as well, so you're going to get that scry 2 every time it blinks also.
Oh. So, like, it doesn't deal combat damage. It doesn't even get the blockers.
No, at end of combat. When Fortune attacks...
At the end of combat. I was...
Exile it and up to the one...
Okay, I missed the at end of combat. Okay.
Yep.
And like you can,
but I guess that would untap them. So,
mm-hmm. So it like has pseudo vigilance.
Yeah,
and you get the scry too. Mm-hmm. You can also over saddle. You saddle with a bunch of things.
Yeah, it only blinks one card. So over saddling it, you could do it, but I don't think it does what you want it to.
It does not. Boo. Yep. Reading the card explains the card, but the cards are so long now. They used to just say like flying, and you'd be so like, "Okay, text. This one flies."
Yeah.
Now it's like,
all right,
SAT like reading comprehension test.
Right. All right. So now we are moving on to blue, and this thing is weird. This is Archmage's Newt, one in a blue for a 2/2 Salamander mount. Whenever Archmage's Newt deals combat damage to a player, target instant or sorcery card in your graveyard gains flashback until end of turn. The flashback cost is equal to its mana cost. That card gains flashback 0 until end of turn instead, if Archmage's Newt is saddled.
Yeah, and the saddle cost is 3.
Saddle cost is 3.
So it's a 2-mana 2/2, which isn't doing it a whole lot of favors with like getting in.
It also has no evasion, you've got to do some work to get this thing in the red zone.
It is a grizzly bear.
But, like, if this thing even connects once and you've done a little bit of setup work, like, the game might just end.
Oh, absolutely. Like, those decks in, I think it was Historic or whatever, where like it was like Faithless Looting, put big spells in the graveyard, and then Nivik's Mastery or whatever. Well, like
you could Magma just Opus, make some treasures, and then you get to cast it for nothing.
Time
Warp.
You could like with Magma Opus, like you have to build a very specific deck, but you could Newt on 2, Magma Opus, use the treasure, play some 2-mana 3/1.
Mm-hmm.
This guy gets in, and then you cast the Magma Opus on turn 3.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, it is a lot of text, but it falls into that kind of Magic card we, like, have missed for a while, which is, like, a card that has a very clear dream that you can try to live that's, like... Yeah. If it does the thing, it's very powerful, but more than likely it won't. So it like won't spawn like some crazy new deck more than likely. I say that and people are going to be like slipping through space and stuff.
But well, that's what I meant. Like you have to do some work to make this thing happen. You need to give it evasion. You need to get it in the red zone. And at the same time, you have to have like a thing that's worth hitting in the graveyard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this Magma Opus puts itself there. Almost all the big spells that like are like hybrid those is it? Hybrid spells. Is it?
Yeah.
Those are all pretty good to like Creative Outburst, Magma Opus. Yeah. Takes even more work, but Herd Migration.
Sure.
Right, like that can put itself in the graveyard and then you could like get it back.
Mm-hmm.
But it is like you have to build a deck, like you said, in such a way that like you can get it in and you can have something in the yard that's hard to do.
I have a feeling this is going to be an against the odds deck. No doubt in my mind. Saffron Olive sleeves this up.
Oh, yeah, it'll definitely, like, Time Warps and Karn's Temporal Sundrings and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's in that sweet spot. Like I said, like, there's a dream. There's the Against the Odds dream. It does something really powerful, but it takes so much work, it's not going to just be like, here is the best new Pioneer deck. Right. Archmage's Newt. $45 or some crap.
I don't think that's going to happen. All right, so the next one we have is interesting. Shifting Grift is a spree spell. It's blue-blue, and it's uncommon, so it's going to be plenty of them around here. Plus 2 mana is exchange control of 2 target creatures, plus 1 exchange control of 2 target artifacts, and plus 1 exchange control of 2 target enchantments.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this effect isn't very common.
Like, no,
the, trading things with your opponent.
So the first one is Switcheroo.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know about, like, exchange artifacts or exchange enchantments.
Yeah.
But, like, Switcheroo is 5 mana? I think it's 4 and a blue? I think
so, yeah.
So this is, like, a 1 mana cheaper Switcheroo?
Mm-hmm.
Which can be a back-breaking limited card.
Yes. What I was kind of thinking was, I guess it's because it's two, you have to target 2 enchantments, maybe it doesn't work, but like, how close are we to having a harmless offering deck where, like, do we have enough of this effect now to make something like that work? Where you're, like, donating a Demonic Pact or Treacherous Blessing or something you've already gotten the value off of, and you leave it with the scraps.
I mean, the fact that they're enchantments and there's, like, not a good way to give your opponent an enchantment. But, like, remember we had
that... Well, I mean, there's also things like the creatures that kill you as well.
That's what I say. Like, we had the deck that was the Archfiend deck where you, like, would enchant one of their creatures and make it not Archfiend. What was the big Phyrexian 6/6 guy? It's like 2 weeks
ago we were talking about this. Archfiend of Dross or something.
Yeah, Archfiend of the Dross. There you go.
Yeah.
And you would, like, make one of their creatures an Archfiend and kill them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you really need to find the Archfiend, but now, like, if they have a creature, you have now 8 ways to do the switch.
Right.
Which is not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like, then it's just, like, how do you, like, consistently find the Archfiend or, like, another creature that kills them?
Yeah.
I don't know if there is another one that kills them as, like, effectively.
Probably not as effectively, but I'm sure I didn't put a ton of effort into it because I was mainly thinking, like, the old donate decks or whatever, but...
Yeah, where, like, there doesn't have to be a target on the other end.
Yeah.
But, like, you could go, like, really hard and be like, okay, like, I'm Grixis Shifting Grift, wherever that, one in the blue, you know, a creature comes, another creature, and, mm-hmm. like, this with, like, Harmless Offering and Archfiend of the Dross and some other creature.
Yeah.
Or enchantment. If there was, like, a way to, like, give them an enchantment.
Yeah.
Because, like, even curses, you control the curse, right? The curse is on the person, but you control it. You
control it, yeah.
So, yeah, like, how can you, like...
Is there, a transmogrify or whatever, that or a polymorph that makes something an enchantment creature?
Hmm. I don't... I'm trying to think. Like, is there something that would make it, like, an... Yeah. I'm not sure.
I mean, like, we're not talking about enchantments anymore. We're on to artifacts, but, like, Vraska turns things into treasures.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's 2 different Vraskas that turn things into treasures. And then you just got to find an artifact that's worth switching.
Yeah, that'll kill them.
Yeah. I'm sure there's something.
There's gotta be.
We just have to look for it.
Yeah,
like, I thought it was a weird card. Like, we don't typically see this effect, so.
No, like, it's very rare. Like, it's a super annoying effect in limited. Like, if you are.
Yeah.
If you're someone who, like, plays, like, slower decks, where you've, like, ground your opponent out and you've got, like, a 5/5 and they've got a 1/1 and they're like, oh, switcheroo. And you're just like, that card's, like, unplayable in, like, 95% of scenarios, but. This is the 5% that is good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So. Well, it's also the kind of like the last card. It's also the kind of card that punishes people for playing things that don't immediately affect the battlefield. Mm-hmm. Like if you don't get paid off immediately and then your opponent takes it, that's way worse than if it paid you off and then your opponent took it.
Yeah, like, you know, you're like, all right, I just got to make it to my upkeep and I get a thing. And they're like, no, I get the thing now. And you're like,
oh, yep.
Man. Yeah, I can't think of, like, there are enough give and switch effects. And, like, being 4 mana, this is, like, cheap enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, 3 mana if you can find a way to give them an enchantment.
Yeah, but it's just, yeah, the enchantment thing, like, there's not like a Forbidden Orchard that gives you like enchantment creatures or something.
Yeah. You just got to hope you play against people that are playing
creatures,
shrines or something.
Sure. I
give me all the shrine players.
My deck's the shrine killer. Let's go.
I will take your shrine. I will give you Treacherous Blessing.
Much like the shrine players and, you know, having the number, I have a student who spent $750 on 2 concert tickets. And I was like, if this is for this like rap group that like no one's ever heard of, I'm going to be very upset. And she was like, it is. So I asked my class, how many of you have heard of the Suicide Boys? And out of like 70 people, like 7 people raised their hands. I'm like, girl, this isn't like Adele or something. Like, this is like like some SoundCloud rapper. Like, what's going on? And then today she's like, I don't understand. Like, they're really popular. Like, it's just like, oh, this isn't the right group. Like, a bunch of college students. I'm like, and she has her hair dyed red. I was like, is it just the red-haired community? Like, the if you have your natural hair color, you're not vibing with it. Like, it just has to be like, This is this, where you're just like, all right, this is not, you like start your match and you're like, this is not the right vibe that I need for this, for this deck. I got to move on to the next one. Have you watched, Krim does like this 20-minute videos on Goldfish of his stream, and he'll just do a thing where he's like, today we're hunting show and tell. And just like plays a deck that just wrecks show and tell, but just loses to literally everything else.
Everything else.
And every match, he's just like, come on, show and tell. Come on. Come on. Yes. then you're just like, come on, shrines. Come on, shrines. Just the sweat every match. Like, come on.
Moving on. We have Time Twister at Home.
Yes.
Step Between Worlds. 3 blue-blue for a sorcery. Each player may shuffle their hand and graveyard library. Each player who does draws 7 cards. Exile Step Between Worlds. Plot, 4 blue-blue.
So its plot cost is just Time Twister. Not Time Twister. Time Spiral.
Yeah. The difference, though, is that you get to use your mana first.
Well, with Time Spiral, you do as well, right? Because you would untap 6 lands.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So this is like, you plot it for 6, you pass the turn, your opponent knows you're going to play a draw 7.
Right.
And then when you play the draw 7, presumably all your mana is untapped. So you get to use the mana first. Like, you didn't use the mana 1 turn, but now you're going to use the mana. I did hear like an interesting, like, you know, thing of maybe you play Step Between Worlds, your opponent knows that it's there. And then they're like, well, I'm going to empty my hand so I can like,
then
you wrath them. Yeah. You like make them overextend into getting a new hand. So as opposed to it being,
you
like,
just don't give it to them and you play a Narset instead.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess but it's May. May shuffle. So it stops you from Narsetting.
I gotcha. Well, right, but you still made them empty their hand, and then they're not going to take.
They're not going to get anything out of it. They'll get like a card.
Yeah.
I mean, but still, like Narset and this, while not like you're never going to like mind twist them, right? You just just not an option. But Narset and Step Between Worlds, like if you've like played lands and like you've exhausted a bunch of resources, mm-hmm. and then you just have a Narset out and then you Step Between Worlds, if you get 7 cards and they get 0,
mm-hmm.
right, you're still up on that exchange.
Oh, definitely.
It's still a 7-for-1.
Right.
So you're still like winning that exchange. Like, even though you don't mind twist them, the Narset making sure they don't get 7 cards
mm-hmm.
is still like a fine deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that seems fine. That's like a play pattern. Like, you do Narset at some point, get the down ticks, then you Step Between Worlds, refill your hand. They don't get to.
I mean, it's also pretty gross that this is in standard at the same time Shieldred is.
Yeah, you gain 14.
and like, it stops them from refilling, because then they would lose 14.
Yeah, like, blue-black wheels. Like, yeah. I know Day's Undoing does the Narset thing, but doesn't do the Shieldred thing, because it, like, takes the triggers off the stack. But, mm-hmm. like, you know, the Narset thing is still pretty good.
Yeah. Well, this you could do in standard.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah.
Like Day's Undoing, you're not going to do in standard, but.
Yeah. But yeah, the Shieldred thing where they aren't forced to draw, but then they just don't get to.
Right.
Because it kills them. Well, like,
I can't imagine by the time you're casting this, I can't imagine that your opponent can handle a 28-point life swing.
Yeah, but like, even gain 14, draw 7. Yeah. And they curve into each other.
Right.
Right? Like, and like at that point, like if you go Shieldred into this, you don't care what. If they draw 7, you probably win.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't, you probably win. Right? Like, I guess like you have to hope they tap out so you don't like get your Shieldred blown up underneath this.
Mm-hmm.
But like, that's probably a pretty fair.
Or you plot this, and then you cast Shieldred with some counter magic up.
Mm-hmm. And you're just like, all right, like, this is, like, I'm going to refill my hand.
Let's do it.
I know it's not in standard, but I wonder, like, how something like this plays with, like, Foretell. You're just dumping your cards into exile.
Oh, yeah.
And so you've got, like, because there was a Foretell counter spell
mm-hmm.
that was, like, 2 or whatever, and you just, like, you've emptied your hand, but you haven't emptied your hand.
Right.
And then you, like, refill
it. Yeah, gross.
Your hand is, like, 11 cards. And it's just, like, yeah, like, I can, like, these ones are unthought seizable. And, mm-hmm. like, I've got, you know, and same with, like, adventure creatures. Where you're like, you use it and you just kind of set them off to the side. And then eventually you just refill with this.
Absolutely.
Like, all of my stuff's like over here. Like, I've been playing a game, mm-hmm. but now I'm going to refill my hand. And then I still got all D's, as it were.
Yeah.
So they were trying to kind of fix Time Spiral. Mm-hmm. Right. Cause like, I think that was the original intent of Time Spiral, is you, like, have 6 islands, and you get to, like, use the mana.
Right.
But then they forgot about High Tide and Talarian Academy. And so...
Oops.
It was like, oh, I have 72 mana, and I get to use all these cards. So this kind of fixes that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it gives you you get to use all of your mana the turn you cast it.
Yeah.
But some earlier turn, you had to be like, I hope this is okay.
Yeah.
But it's neat. You can do different stuff with it, but it's just like it doesn't. It is fixed to the point where it doesn't do the like backbreaking thing.
Right. Not by itself, at least.
Not by itself. Yeah. Like they still have like if drawing 7 cards and taking 14, if your opponent feels like that is best for them, they have that option.
They're welcome to choose that if they wish.
Yeah. But so like they always get to choose what they think is best for them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, but you can like, you can cut those decisions off, mm-hmm. right? Narset, Shieldred, and then it's always going to be good for you when you decide to cast it.
Yep. All right. Last blue card we have is Three Steps Ahead.
Mm-hmm.
This is another spree card in blue. Single blue mana for an instant with spree. And if you add one in a blue, it will counter target spell. If you add three generic, you create a token that's a copy of target artifact or creature you control. Or if you add two generic, you draw two cards, then discard a card.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of struck me as interesting about this is that like each mode here is like one mana too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like cancel isn't played because it's not a good rate for a counter spell. Clone that like clone is like right there, but this can only target a creature you control.
And a token. Typically
that's at three
mana. No, you're right. Just no. Any creature. Yeah, any creature. Never mind.
But typically that's at three mana for limiting it to what you control. Mm-hmm. And then draw two, discard a card, like three mana is a little much for that. Like
That's Chart of Course.
Drawn a blank. Chart of Course, yeah. That's the one I was trying to think of. One mana is too much for that. Mm-hmm. But if you start adding this stuff up, like that one extra mana gets like let's just say you're casting all of these. So it's 8 mana,
mm-hmm.
right? But you're only paying a third of a mana tax to do the thing.
Yeah.
Like I realize that 8 mana is a lot, but it cuts the cost down because you're doing all of them. I really liked Sublime Epiphany when mm-hmm. that was in standard. Like I played a bunch of, it was kind of my pet card. I know it wasn't great, but I enjoyed casting that card. And this is like some portion of Sublime Epiphany.
So another card I've heard it compared to that sees extensive modern play mm-hmm. is Archmage's Charm. Right?
Yeah.
This is because Archmage's Charm has blue, counter target mm-hmm. spell. So that is harder to cast first mode of this. Yep. And then it's blue, draw two cards, which
mm-hmm.
is one extra card compared to draw two, discard a card. But it's two and a blue as opposed right. to blue. And I think mm-hmm. that the like steal a one mana thing or like one mana value or less thing on Irish Age of Charm is way better than create a token of a thing you already have.
Yeah.
But like you get two modes that are like almost Archmage, one that is the Archmage Charm mode. Yep. Right, that is just better because it's easier to cast. One that's almost, and then one that's different. And Archmage's mm-hmm. Charm has seen a ton of play. Like this mm-hmm. could be, you know,
Archmage's Charm. You can't double up though.
You can't double it up. So like you always get one. So later in the game, this becomes better.
Yep.
And like, you know, this could be the pioneer Archmage's Charm, where it mm-hmm. is doing enough other stuff that like yes, like it's not a good rate for a counter spell, but the right. fact that you have the ability to counter a spell on three, but then maybe also like, you know, draw two, discard a card later on.
Mm-hmm.
Like that flexibility like is gonna allow it to see play where like cancel wouldn't.
Right.
And again, the times that you get like way more mana, is going to be really good. And then, like, there are, you know, some, like, goofy reanimation decks, because they keep printing, like, kind of busted, like, both busted reanimation targets and busted-ish reanimation spells. Much like Izzet Charm, hey, my combo deck randomly has interaction.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, I need to get a card in my graveyard. Well, okay, I can use the discard mode. Oh no, you're casting your graveyard hate spell. I guess I'll counter it.
Counter it, yeah.
Right, like, so you have that, like, extra flexibility. Now, the problem is like, so there's like the creativity decks, and like, I think there's like a blue red like reanimation deck or something with what's he called? Like Torrential Gearhulk or something. Like, this just doesn't flash back well. Right, like, it would be great, like, if you could flash it back and then clone your Gearhulk. But, like, that costs 3 mana.
Right.
Which isn't, like, ideal. But, like, the fact that you can do goofy combo shenanigans and, like, also have cancel in your deck.
Right.
So, because, I mean, you could also see, like, a, like, you know, on turn 7 or whatever, you cast a spell and your control opponent, like, taps, I guess it would be 5 mana.
5 mana.
And is, like, counting your spell, I'll draw 2, discard 1, and, like, discards a land. And you're just like, oh my god. Like, now they've got, like, now they've got more gas, my thing got canceled, like, what am I gonna do?
Yep.
So, like,
they were 3 steps ahead.
They were. They were just, they put on the little cowboy hat and just went to town. All right, so we can probably
moving on to black.
Yeah, we can get through black. We're about 50 minutes in.
All right, well, let's try and get through black, and then we'll call it.
Yes.
First black card, Geesa the Hellraiser. This is 3 black for a 4/4 legendary human warlock. It has ward, 2 generic, pay 2 life. So both of those things. Skeletons and zombies you control get +1/+1 and have Menace. And whenever you commit a crime, create 2 tapped 2/2 blue and black zombie rogue creature tokens. This ability only triggers once each turn. Typically in the past, I would have looked at this and said, oh, that's a commander card. It doesn't pay you off immediately. Costs a whole bunch of mana. But if I have learned anything from the last few years and how wrong we were with Shieldred, I am kind of scared of this card.
I think the thing that separates it from Shieldred is, like, the 4 toughness. Right, Shieldred being a 4/5 made it really difficult.
But, like, Ward 2 and 2 life isn't... Like, this has some form of protection that Shieldred does not.
Yeah, it has... Kind of like Shieldred, you always have to take 2 to get rid of it.
Yeah.
What I was trying to figure out is, are there, like, things that commit a crime for free that you could do? So, like, could you imagine a situation, I mean, where you
have a whole set full of plot cards?
Yeah, but I mean, I would think more like Liliana. You, like, play Liliana plus, then the next turn you're like Geesa
minus.
Minus. Even if they don't have a creature, you're just like Geesa minus trigger.
Yeah. Make 2/3/3s with menace.
Yeah. And then it's just like, okay, like, you can kill her. I got paid.
Right. Right.
Right. So, like, planeswalkers, like, Ob, like, 3 mana Ob. Yep. Like, commits a crime when you... So, like, anything that you could, like, that you would want to play anyway?
Yeah.
That you... That is going to, like, commit a crime to trigger Geesa the first time? And, like, we don't have, like, a Relic of Progenitus. Oh, my God. The Hearse.
Oh, unlicensed Hearse?
Right, yeah. Because, like... You win I'm going to say 100% of the games that you play this and activate a planeswalker and get sure. two threes. And then on their upkeep, you activate mm-hmm. your unlicensed hers.
Yep.
And now you've put like 8 power on the board.
Yep.
And like they just lose the game.
Graveyard Trespasser.
Yeah, like that's yeah. Like this kind of seems like your right, like if you want to play a mono black deck, or it's like something similar to the mono deck black decks we've seen, but mm-hmm. like you could almost get rid of like the waste not like discard like crazy discard package for just like good magic cards. I know shots fired. Yeah. Shots fired at waste not. But like the number of times they like, you know, draw a go blank and you have no cards at hand, it's like, yeah, that card doesn't really do anything.
It exiles a graveyard.
It exiles a graveyard. But you know what I mean? Like where they have those cards that are just like, well, I resolved a thing and now mm-hmm. you don't have removal for it, so now you die.
Yep.
Like where they're just like, we're gonna focus on like he said great like Graveyard Trespasser, like you know, you went like Graveyard Trespasser and like 3 Shieldreds and then 2 Gisa with mm-hmm. Lily and stuff, and then you're like, oh, okay, well now I have this like engine built into my deck later on. Mm-hmm. And but like instant speed ways to commit crimes to like trigger on your turn and their turn.
And your opponent's turn, yeah.
Yeah, is like a huge game. Because like if in one turn cycle you can
put 10 power and toughness on the board.
Yeah, like yay.
Yeah.
Like thank you very much.
Yeah.
So but yeah, but like, you know, Graveyard Trespasser into this, you get to attack and exile something out of their graveyard, get 2 things, and then some way, you know, to target them on their turn.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've done it.
I mean, another thing that you can do is Fatal Push.
Oh, yeah.
Because Fatal Push can target a thing and, like, not kill it. You can target anything with Fatal Push, mm-hmm. and either it will kill it or it won't. Like, it doesn't check until the spell resolves. So you could Fatal Push, make 2 3-3s.
So, yeah, like, if you can do that, but like even the like Grave Titan mode of just one activation, mm-hmm. and like it's not like we're saying play bad cards, it's like play Liliana of the Veil.
No, yeah, just play.
Play like, yeah, play like, do what Mono Black wants to do. Maybe like make a little bit of a concession, but for the most part, just do like what Mono Black wants to do. And you're going mm-hmm. to do the crime thing and trigger this.
Yep.
So yeah, like, it is, we have seen the dangers of like, oh man, it's a commander card, because like those apparently are the best cards in Standard.
Right. How do we make Standard better? Oh, just play the commander cards.
Yeah. All right, what do we got next?
All right, this is a weird one, and you might laugh at me.
Okay.
Hollow Marauder.
Mm-hmm.
This is 6 and a black for a 4/2 Spectre Rogue. It has flying, and it costs 1 less for each creature card in your graveyard. And when Hollow Marauder enters the battlefield, any number of target opponents each discard a card. For each of those opponents who didn't discard a card with mana value 4 or greater, draw a card.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an uncommon, so it's not like gonna probably ever break the bank. But how, like, I have questions about this card, because okay. How much are we willing to pay for this card? Like, obviously 7 mana is too much for a 4/2 flyer.
Mm-hmm.
Is 3 mana a good rate for a 4/2 flyer?
Probably. So this is, I think, better Writhing Necromass.
Yeah.
So it's the same.
I definitely think it's better than Writhing Necromass.
It's the same casting cost. Has the same cost reducer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Has evasion.
Mm-hmm.
And is a 2-for-1, maybe a 3-for-1.
Right.
Like, I don't think it's hard to make this, like, cost 3 mana and feel like okay.
I mean, I don't think it's hard to make this cost 1 mana or 2 mana. Like, with all of the effects that we have available to us, it, like, getting stuff into the bin is kind of trivial.
I mean, think about all of, they keep printing all of these, like, channel, but we're not going to keyword it cards.
Right.
That, like, discard themselves. There's a new one in, like, I think it's in the big scores and something that's, like, it's a baby massacre worm, but also has, like, mm-hmm. 1 in the black, discard it, give something neg 2, neg 2.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, your removal spell also, like, knocks your Hollow Marauder down.
Right.
Right? Like, could there be a deck that is Hollow Marauder and Writhing Necromass the deck? Right? Where you just have both of them? And you just, like, play removal spells that, like, discard themselves. And mm-hmm. you, like, I don't think I guess we don't have cycling right now. But, like,
We have a bunch of quasi-cycling stuff.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff that's, like, it's not keyworded cycling, yeah. but it's doing something similar.
Yeah.
No, like, I think this card
I was even thinking, like, in Pioneer, though, we have Stitcher Supplier, which mm-hmm. fills the bin. Mm-hmm. They just gave us Looter Scooter, which mm-hmm. fills the bin. There's plenty of ways to get things in the yard and make this cheap. And, like, where I was kind of going with this is, at face value, like, a 2-mana or a 3-mana 4-2 flyer is, I think, okay. And then,
yeah.
in competitive formats, by the time you cast this thing, the chances of your opponent having something in their hand that's 4 CMC or more, like, that's kind of a big ask.
There are, like, some decks that literally have no cards that are 4 CMC in their deck at all.
Exactly. And if this is even a 3-mana 4-2 flyer that draws you a card and makes your opponent discard a card, like, that's kind of nuts.
I mean, I think you would pay 2 or 3 mana for your opponent discards a card, you draw a card.
Yeah.
Right? And absolutely. So, like, the 4-2 body at, like...
It's a bonus.
Yeah, at 2 mana is just free.
Mm-hmm.
At 3 mana, it, like... I think a 4 mana for a 4-mana... 4 mana for a 4-2 flyer... Probably somewhere in that general ballpark. Not that mm-hmm. that's, like, standard playable or, like, 60 card playable, but that's, like, in the ballpark.
Yeah.
Right?
So here's one for you. Magical Christmas Land.
Okay.
Stitcher Supplier.
Mm-hmm.
Deadly Dispute into this on turn 2.
You just mill 6 creatures? Well, no, only 5 because
Stitcher Supplier is a creature, yeah.
Then you play 2 of them because you have the treasure. Oh, no, I guess you only play 1. Boo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, it seems like a very good game 1 deck.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, that's my Christmas land. Like, I wouldn't plan on, you know, that being your game plan every time. But, like, those are all cards that you would play in a deck with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You're not, like, you're not setting your deck up to do just that thing. Like, the kind of deck that would do that thing would also just play those cards.
Yeah, but, like, could you, like, you know, could there be a cycling deck where...
Maybe.
You, like, are cycling things, like playing some removal, playing the, like, channel creatures
mm-hmm.
or pseudo channel things, right? Like, you're red black, you have the massacre worm knockoff from Big Score, mm-hmm. you have the dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
You have Trumpeting Carnosaur.
Yep.
You have Fable the Mirror Breaker.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have Thoughtseize.
Yep.
Maybe you have like Blood Tithe Harvester. So you have a removal spell that's also a creature that can go also in the graveyard. And then like when these are bad, you loot them away with your Blood Tithe Harvesters and your Fables, but then like you get to a point where you're just like you play like multiple like 2 mana 4/2 flyers that like are a one for, or at least a 2-for-1.
Right.
And like that's not a terrible deck idea.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like it's basically swapping the vampire synergies for like some graveyard synergies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is like, you know, has its own like concerns, but it's not like a thing that is like ridiculous to think.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, this,
I mean, it kind of selfishly, I was, you remember my red black zombies mm-hmm. deck. And, this is like a perfect home for that.
It kind of is. Yeah.
So it might be something to toy around with at some. I think that deck's probably terrible in today's day and age, but
yeah,
might be something to toy around with.
But like, again, this is another card that like kind of gives you like a dream
mm-hmm.
to live and like something that you can be like, oh, there's a deck I can build around this and it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, you see if it works or you see if there is like possibly a home.
Yep.
So what else do we got?
Insatiable Avarice. This is a black spree card, a single black mana, and 2 generic to search your library for a card, then shuffle and put it on top, and plus black, target player draws 3 cards and loses 3 life.
Okay, like
3 black mana, draw 3, lose 3 is pretty decent.
I mean, it was a long time ago, but like Painful Truths got played.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then what was the... Oh, I just played against it the other day. The enchantment that like comes into play, you draw 3 cards, and whenever you cast a spell, you lose a life.
Treacherous Blessing. We were talking about that a little while ago.
Yeah, so like... You know, like in a like mono black-ish kind of deck,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, this is an amazing card to play when you like have a Shieldred down
mm-hmm.
because it's, you know, with a Shieldred out, it's 3 mana,
gain 3 life,
or 9 your opponent.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah, here's 3 cards. What's your life total? 8. Here's 3 cards. Next game.
Yep.
Trigger.
This is also along the same lines as, what was that other card we were talking about? 3 Steps Ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You also get to split the casting cost of the card between the modes. So this is also 5 mana. Tutor for a card, draw 2, lose 3.
Yeah. Which is also very good.
I mean, was it Mastermind's Acquisition? Like, saw play when it was legal and standard?
Mm-hmm.
That was just 4 mana, get a card.
Yeah. It's like 4 mana, usually get a card out of your sideboard, but like this being like,
yeah,
get a specific card and then 2 more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is probably better.
2 freshies.
Yeah, I mean, this card I think is really good with Shieldred in the format. Like, you just,
yeah,
like the times that you just Shieldred than this are like through the roof. Or like, you're like, I don't have anything to do, I'm just going to go get my shield. Because like the number mm-hmm. of times, like, I don't know how much Arena you've been playing, but the number of times your opponent is just like leaning on like, I'm going to Thoughtseize you and then do nothing and stick a Shieldred and hope it doesn't die in the mono mm-hmm. black decks are like at least half of their games.
Yeah.
Right? And then if you had extra copies of Shieldred,
mm-hmm.
that curve into the Shieldred.
Right.
Right, like, you're probably gonna be like, well, it's okay that I don't have a three drop because I have this thing and I can either just draw three cards and hope there's a Shieldred in the top three.
Yeah.
Or
go get it.
Or I can just go get it because I don't think they can, like, oh, they're playing like blue red. If I stick a Shieldred, I win this game.
Yeah. I mean, the only downside is this tutors to the top of your life.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, like
your card disadvantage at that point.
But. You are. But no, I think, like, we don't get a ton of effects like this. Like, right. we've not had this particular, like, split card.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a, like, it can be powerful. And, like, on five, just, like, get the card in your hand is, like, pretty good. And, like, a lot of those mono black decks are just, like, please, for the love of God, just, like,
Find a Shieldred,
or just, like, let me one for one you, and then like somehow get card advantage with like Brecker Bank Buster or like Waste Knot or whatever. And like, I don't know, I kind of feel like I'd rather play this than Waste Knot. Like the times that Waste Knot does like nothing. Now, some there are times that it is amazing, but then there are also times where it does literal nothing.
Yep.
All right, what's up next? All right,
we got one more black card.
One more black
card. We'll call it here.
Okay.
This is Karavek the Punisher. I think we talked about this guy in the pre-show last week just for a second. This is one black for a 3/3 legendary human warlock. And whenever you commit a crime, exile up to one target black card from your graveyard and copy it. You may cast the copy. If you do, you lose 2 life. So this lets you flashback things for free for playing Magic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it costs you 2 life.
Sure.
But it's
greatness at any cost.
It's not mana gated.
Right.
It's life gated.
Yep.
Now there is like kind of a, I don't know if interesting is the word, but when you cast the Thoughtseize.
Mm-hmm.
You commit the crime. True. So before the Thoughtseize resolves.
And goes to the graveyard.
Karavek triggers.
Right.
And then you can like flashback another card. Like you can never.
Flashback the spell that you're casting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like you never get to cast it like again in that sequence. Like you can keep committing crimes. But eventually, like, you run out of crimes to commit because...
Well, right, but you're going to Thoughtseize on turn one, and then you're going to play this on, like, turn three or turn four.
Yeah.
And then go for the throat, their creature, and then also Thoughtseize them.
Yes.
For free.
Yeah, but what I guess what I'm saying is just, like, don't think that you get to, like... Like, you, it's not that you have, like,
double
I have two.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a Thoughtseize in my graveyard and then a Thoughtseize in my hand. You don't get to, like, loop Thoughtseizes kind of deal.
No, but the same way we were talking about Gisa back there, like, committing a crime is trivial. Like, it's called playing Magic. It's not a mechanic. It's not a thing that you have to go out of your way to do. It's, like, playing the game is a crime. So, things that you want to be doing anyway, like Graveyard Trespasser or Liliana, like those are all things that are going to let you flesh stuff back out of your graveyard for free.
Yeah, like the
Liliana sack a creature. Oh yeah, I'll kill that one too.
Let's just say, like again, I think the ways to commit free crimes. Are really the things that are going to like make the crime mechanic good. So like if you can pair a free way to commit a crime and then like a free crime payoff, then you're like onto something.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I totally agree that like, you know, the game that you go like Lily on 3+, this on 4, then Thoughtseize or Fatal Push, get the Thoughtseize back from your graveyard, and then flash back the spell that you cast with your Lily, right? You're like, Thought sees you on one, Lily on three, play this, Thought sees you on four, down take Lily, Thought sees you again or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, I don't have a hand. And it's like, yeah, and I have a 3/3 and a Lily. Like, right. It's been fun, but you're dead now. So I like, it can be good. And like you said, like we keep using Thoughtseize as the example, but that's like the most powerful card you can do for all these crime things.
Yeah.
I mean, so like we are using the most powerful example, but like, you know, Fatal Push, Go for the Throat, like, you know,
hell, even Duress, like sub Thoughtseize for Duress.
Or like, hey, like, you know, Lily this, like you kill a creature on two, you play Lily, uptick, turn three, you play this, downtick Lily, you go for the throat one thing, then they have to sack another.
Right. No, right. I'm going to totally be Jund guy for a minute. But
okay.
What about something along the lines of like Thoughtseize, and then into like do whatever on turn two, this guy crack your Mishra's Bauble, Thoughtseize you again.
No, I was going to say like Mishra's Bauble is like perfect for this. It's the free way to commit is a free way to commit a crime that didn't cost you any mana.
Or a card, because it gets you the card back.
I mean, Territorial Kavu exiles a card from their graveyard.
Sure.
So you're like Thoughtseize, then Kavu, then this attack with the Kavu Thoughtseize you again.
Yep.
Like, you win 100% of the games, I think, that you do that.
Mm-hmm.
So...
yeah, you just rip their hand to shreds.
Whack them for 4 or 5.
Yep.
And have a 3/3.
Yep.
Yeah, no, like, this is, like, could Jund be good again? Like, getting probably free... getting free Thoughtseize... probably getting free Thoughtseizes and free Bolts. Or, like...
free Terminate.
I know Dreadhorn,
not Bolt, because it only hits black cards.
Oh, sorry. What about like?
Oh, wait a minute. It's black card.
Yeah.
So you can get back your shield, Dread.
Oh yeah.
Or your Meat Hook Massacre, or
yeah, it's not just spells. Oh Jesus.
Yeah.
I was also thinking. Right, it was a short-lived time in Jund, but Dreadhorde Arcanist?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where, like, now you play this on three and the Arcanist casts, like, a spell.
Oh, wait a minute.
Take a bit of crime. Can you just get back Atraxa? Did we just figure out you just get back Atraxa because it's black?
Yes, that's the conclusion I had just come to.
Okay. Okay, yes. So you're telling me it's like discard some stuff on turn three? Like, is this like Fable of the Mirror Breaker? Discard Atraxa, play this, get back Atraxa with like a Thoughtseize or a Fatal Push?
Yeah, I think so.
Or, okay. We're just going to go. Brace yourselves, dear listener. So, we've already established that Lily is good. For free stuff. Lily discards Big Idiots.
It does.
This guy reanimates Big Idiots.
Yeah.
Like, Sorin is pretty sketch as like a card. Like, could you build a deck where you're like reanimating Atraxa or Vein Ripper off of Karabakh the Punisher, and like you're using like Lily to set it up. And you know,
I mean, you could potentially do this in Standard.
Yeah, like the two things that I just named to reanimate. Yeah, like Lily, this Atraxa, Vein Ripper are all in Standard.
Yeah.
Right. This seems like a like so there was a. Blue black reenact the crime deck that had like Lily and Kaito, like the loot Kaito.
Yeah.
Well, this is like, it's a two card combo, but like this plus removal spell is kind of like reenact the crime, but you're not limited to, but like Lily plus this is just like the nuts. Cause you just like discard, you know, sack your creature.
Right.
Get back my thing.
I don't know.
Okay.
I think this card is kind of nuts.
So with black card, like, yeah, like this and Lily's like really good.
Yeah.
Really, right. Good. And like, you don't have to play like the junky, like Dusk Legion Zealot. Like you, right. Like you don't have to, you could make your mana better. God, the mana in the deck is so bad. right. Like, yeah, like I could get behind this because it is just one black card. And it even says like copies of permanent spells can be token and become tokens.
Yep.
Like a token Atraxa is still an Atraxa.
Still an Atraxa. Yep. Definitely. Still does all of the Atraxa things.
Still drew me a million cards.
Yep.
there was, so Jim Davis had a video on their like backup, the other deck they almost played at the Pro Tour. They almost played Golgari Vampires.
Oh yeah.
Were you elf into Sorin or elf into priest of the Schism?
Yeah.
And then there's the, saga that like chapter one is make a 3/3, chapter two is sack a creature, search your library for a creature, so you like always have Vein Ripper.
Yeah.
But like they found the deck a couple days before decks were due,
had time to test
and it. They just didn't have time to like, yeah. Jim said that it was like, Jim, should we work on the Golgari thing, and he was like, no, because I just don't think there's enough time.
Yeah.
But like elf into this, into like and anything, right? Like elf into this, yeah, into Lily, or elf into Lily into this,
right?
Right, is like I'll get back Atraxa, Vein Ripper, any number of giant black things, and win the game.
Yeah.
Is there like, I don't think there's a thing that's like, you know, ping your opponent, discard a card, or something, or discard a card, ping your opponent.
There is. Vicious Rumor.
Oh, that targets though. Vicious Rumors is like they discard a card, mill a card, and take one. But like,
is there a card
that's like tap, you discard a card as like a cost, no, and then ping them? So. But yeah, like I'm now in on this for the like get back Atraxa angle.
Oh, you didn't like my Jund angle?
I mean,
it's got to be the broken thing, not the value thing. I see how.
Have you played Modern Magic? We're making.
I've also been playing Magic with you for however long.
Yeah, we're making 5/5 that spit out 2/4/4s on turn 3.
Yeah,
and that's not good enough anymore.
Yeah,
but like I don't know, a deck that has like seven discard spells in Lily, like. They just can't, like, you're going to draw one. They can't screw with you. You take apart their plan, and then you're just like, I guess I do this thing?
Right.
Is that good? All right. So, with all this, and us trying to figure out, or at least me trying to figure out how to get back Atraxa, and and James trying to figure out how to make Jund great again, I think we have a show.
Well, hang on.
Before
we call this a show, I got one more thing.
Okay.
So we talked at the top of this episode about how I just kind of picked cards I thought I had something interesting to say about. Did that work out all right for us?
I think it worked out all right.
All right.
We figured out how to turn 4 reanimate Atraxa while like you're taking the removal spell out of their hand.
Other than Karavek in particular, were there any cards that we talked about that
weren't interesting? Quite
thinking about the same. Well, no, that like maybe you weren't thinking about the same way I was.
I did not think about.
I think like, that's what's interesting.
Like Hollow Marauder and like Marauder and like Gisa were both cards I kind of written off.
Yeah.
And like the getting to like maybe Dust Animus as like the
control
juke was like an interesting place to like work to get to.
Yeah.
So yeah. So with all that, I think we got a show.
We got a show.
So if you want to reach out to us on social media, Facebook, Discord, Twitter, all that jazz, or I guess artist formerly known as Twitter, email, links are in the description below. Tell us what big scorecards you want to hear about.
Yeah.
Because there could be a chance that the next episode gets recorded in about 10 minutes.
A chance?
A chance.
Yeah. Yeah, let us know. Like Brian said, all the links are down there in the description. If you want to support the show, a couple ways you can do it. The first is with our TCG player affiliate link, casualtryhard.com/TCG. Surf on over there, do your shopping, support us at the same time. We would really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
The second way is through Patreon, patreon.com/casualtryhardmtg. Chip a couple bucks in, you help to support the show. You get access to our pre-show and the show notes. And you get to support us, which we really appreciate.
Mm-hmm. So with that, we'll catch you on the internets.
We'll catch you on the internets.